You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You're listening to Dads with Swag, where your coach Sean has the tools to help you navigate some of life's ups and downs.
Let's do it.
Whether you're trying to balance work and life, going through a difficult time in marriage, or trying to manifest that perfect mate, Sean can get you from where you are to where you want to be. Loving husband and dad of two amazing girls, your coach Sean can help you turn your dreams into goals and make them a reality. No more faking change, it's time to start making change with the swaggiest dad of them all, your coach, Sean.
What is up? Welcome back to Dads with Swag. Coming at you live from the swaggiest studio of all. If you guys want to hit me up on social media, get at me at your coach Sean. You could always email me any questions, SeanSeanAlfonso.com. Check out past episodes on DadsWithSwag.com. We're available on iTunes. Don't forget to show us some love. Hit that subscribe button, review, rate the shows. If you guys want to call in, I'd be more than happy to check your messages and get back to you as soon as possible. 415-579-1483. We got in studio today my boy, Zach. Zach's got this new book, Don't Sleep on Planes. What's up, Zach? How you doing, man?
Man, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here. Not sleeping on planes today.
That is great, man. That is great. We don't want you sleeping on planes. Real quick, man, tell us a little. Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, first off, born and raised Phoenix, Arizona. Love the Valley of the Sun, and been out here my whole life. And the best thing about Phoenix is we are the fifth largest city in America, and it truly is a small town. If you know one person, you know five. If you know five people, you know 500.
Yeah.
And so, just growing up here, I've stayed in touch with. I grew up on the avenues on the west side of town, and went to community college downtown. Went to ASU Polytech way out east, and then went to University of Phoenix. I've worked for the Suns and the Diamondbacks, and we'll talk about all these things. But I've been here so long, and I've done a variety of things that just the network keeps growing, and here we are.
Very cool. Very cool, man. So what made you want to write this book?
Kind of to that very first point of being here my whole life, I just continue to meet people and, you know, you stay in touch and you add them on social media. And a lot of people would always say, like, don't you know too many people? Isn't there a point where you're like, all right, I got enough people? Like, no, there's not. And they like, well, how do you meet somebody? And then how do you follow up? Easy. You shoot a note or a text message, or you follow them on Twitter. And I said, I have all these tools that I've just been applying in my life for no personal gain. I don't work in sales. I'm not a real estate agent. I'm a Valley connector, community leader, and sports professional per se. And I just live my life. And so people would come to me and be like, hey, like, how do you do this? And it kind of got to a point where the first step to doing something is solving a problem. And I realized that maybe there are people in my circle that want to get better at networking. And that was a problem. So I was like, I think I got the answer.
Very cool. And you threw it in this nice little book.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with the title, man? The title's sick. Like, that's the thing. Like, titles and show names and, you know, all these kind of things. It's so important to get your message out. And, like, you know, book covers and stuff. People are, don't judge a book by its cover. But it's so hard not to do. Like, if you see a cool cover on a book, you're like, ooh, I'm going to read that. Like, I'm going on vacation or jumping, you know, I'm going to have some downtime jumping on a plane. And I want to read something. You always typically judge it by the cover first. Then you open it up, see what it's about, you know, or you figure out what Bill Gates is reading for the summer, and then you jump on one of those.
Trying to get into that still.
But this topic, man, don't sleep on planes. It's so appealing, and it's just, it catches you, and you're like, well, what do you mean, like, don't sleep on planes? Like, because you don't, in the title, and even with the cover of the book, it doesn't tell you anything what the book's about, right? It's just like, don't sleep on planes. Well, why? Because the plane can get hijacked. The plane might go down. Like, am I supposed to be talking to my neighbor? Like, flight attendant's going to, like, spill something on me. Like, why shouldn't I be sleeping on planes? But it really, like, it just grabs you, man. So how'd you come up with that title?
So in the introduction, I talk about how I was on a flight to Vegas like 2.5 years ago. I was heading to a conference. Millions of people go to conferences a year. And many of those millions end up in Vegas at a conference, which is not a bad place to be at a conference. So if you're going to Vegas, you're thinking about luck. And you're like, all right, like, we're going to hit it. We're going to go have a couple drinks. We're going to go to the tables. So I'm getting on a Southwest flight. And I was in the C group of Southwest, otherwise known as the center seat group. So shout out to the people that know about the C group like me. You always forget to check in, but that's a whole nother topic. So in the C group, I realized that, you know, I'm last three or four people to board, and I started getting a little, I guess, discriminatory. I was profiling. I was like, all right, do I really want to sit next to the crying baby? Not going to Vegas. Do I want to sit next to the group of boys that are going to a bachelor party? Not today. So I saw a dude, row four, sitting on the aisle. It was a middle seat. I saw he was wearing a Rolex. I was like, oh, that's my guy. So I was like, I'm going to sit next to this dude because whatever he's done in his life, he bought a Rolex, so he's making some kind of money. Or maybe it was a gift, but I was destined to find out. So I sit down, and his name's Raleigh. I talk about him in the book, and he's a commercial real estate guy. And Walmart is one of his tenants at his shopping centers. Rent is paid in cash. It was awesome. So I started talking to him, you know, Vegas, what's up? And in that 45 minutes, I met a multimillionaire flying Southwest like everybody else, that there are probably 100 or 1,000 people that are begging for a 45-minute lunch meeting with dude. But instead of taking a nap before Vegas, which is also kind of encouraged because, you know, I didn't sleep on a plane per se, and I just started talking to him. And I travel a lot working in sports, and I love flying because you have personal time. And whether it's taking a nap or reading a book or doing something that's been on your to-do list for a long time, like flying or traveling gives you that time. So it wasn't that day that I came up with don't sleep on planes, but the more I started thinking about when you're burning time, it could have been don't play Madden when you come home from work.
Yeah.
That could have been the same title.
Yeah.
If you're trying to do something, but you're playing Madden every day, well, you're not going to get something done because you're trying to, you know, skill up on Madden. So that's kind of my path, and it's been catchy because people sleep on planes every day.
Definitely. Yeah.
And it's just a little playbook. Like, hey, I'm not saying don't sleep. I'm just saying at least talk to a couple people before you sleep, and then when they hit you with the ding to move your chair up, wake up and finish the story.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure, for sure. So in the book, you talk a little bit about the mask concept.
Yeah.
Let the listeners know a little bit about what's going on with the mask concept.
So working in sports are known to have mascots. And mascots are great because it's a dude in a costume that is empowered to get people excited, to start chants, engage, interact. So the mask concept stems from my time working in sports. I realized that this dude's wearing a mask, and whether it's, you know, Mickey Mouse or the Chick-fil-A cow, whatever, there are mascots everywhere, but this person in this mask is living a life because why do we love Halloween? Because if you dress up like a pirate, you're going to talk like a pirate.
You could be a pirate all day long.
But people know that when you're in the pirate costume, you got to act like a pirate.
Yeah.
If you're Darth Vader, you say what Darth Vader says.
Yeah.
So the mask concept goes like this. When you realize you're wearing a mask, you're a dad with swag. When it's dad mode, that's a mask. When it's husband mode, that's a mask. When it's life coach mode, that's a mask. Now, you can't be wearing the life coach mode when you're being dad. Like, that's, you got to have more love. And so you got to be aware of the masks you wear in your life, work, personal life, church, volunteering. And MASK goes like this. It's an acronym, MASK. First one is M is your mindset, A is your attitude, S are your senses, and K is your knowledge.
All right, cool, man.
So how it works is, you know, right here with this podcast, man, like, we're sitting down with Dads with Swag. You got to get your mind right. That's up to you, and that's up to me. And when you get your mind right, you make that choice. Your attitude, that's up to you as well. However you approach situations, get your attitude right. Senses, whether you're a waitress, a chef, you got to know what it is you're smelling, you're seeing, you're feeling. Your senses have to be alive. And then we'll come back to the chef thing, your knowledge. Like, if you're a chef, you got to know what good food's like, what ingredients go with which. It's the same analogy for life. If you're a teacher, you have knowledge, you got to have a senses of the class, you got to have your attitude because you're dealing with kids or college kids, and you got to get your mind right for the day. So MASK, chapter 3.
That's cool, man. Yeah. There you go. Make sure, check your masks. And I like that point where it's like people are of many masks because we all got so many different masks. It's kind of like having so many different hats on, you know what I'm saying? I had another friend who talks about having all your hats, but I like this mask concept. So we're about to take our first break here, And the song you picked was Lost Prophets, Last Train Home. Tell us a little bit about that song and why that song is important to you.
There's a part in the song where they just belt out, and it's like, if we're going nowhere, we say we're not going home, and you just feel it, and it's like, you just belt it with all your passion and your energy. And probably song's 10, 15 years old, but every time it comes on, no matter where I'm at, it's time to rock.
You listen to Dads with Swag. We got my boy Zach in here talking about his new book, Don't Sleep on Planes. Make sure you check that out.
Dads with Swag with your host, Sean Alfonso.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Dads with Swag. Are you a dad that has no idea where to get the perfect birthday gift to that last-minute birthday party your kid just told you about? Wifey's on a girls' trip, and you need to find a swaggy thing to do with the kids? Make sure you go to the one-stop shop made for dads by dads, azdads.com. So what's up? You guys are listening to Dads with Swag. We got my boy Zach in the house. Don't sleep on planes. You can hit us up on social media at Your Coach Sean. You could always email me, Sean, seanalfonso.com. Check out our website, dadswithswag.com. Get all of our past episodes. Hey, don't forget to show us some love. Subscribe, review, rate this show. We can use all the love we can get, man. So, Zach, what are some of the other points in the book you would like readers to get? When they read this book, what are a couple things that you'd be like, definitely for sure, man, I want them to get this?
So chapter one is kind of the start of anytime you're connecting with somebody or you're out and about, there's an art to talking to strangers. So I start the book with this art of talking to strangers, and a lot of it comes back to what I call the Ford theory, F-O-R-D. I don't live my life in acronyms, so this is now the second acronym I'm dropping on you. But I think it, like anything, if you break it down, F-O-R-D, it goes like this: family, occupation, recreation, and your dreams. People love talking about themselves. Talk about their family. Talk about what they do for a living. Talk about what they do for fun, and talk about what their dreams are. So the art of talking to strangers is number one. Chapter four, one of my favorite, is called Follow Up. It's a fantastic thing to do. You got to be creative with how you follow up, because they are meeting people every single day, but why are they going to remember you? Chapter five is a shout out to some people in my life. It's called Don't Be a Jerk. So
that's great.
So the point is, where you are today, somebody helped you yesterday. Where you're trying to go tomorrow, somebody might have to help you. So be mindful of where you're at. And so wherever you're at today, you're probably enjoying some form of success at the littlest, at the smallest, slightest degree. Don't forget that. Give yourself a pat on the back and remind yourself that where you're at, your worst day is probably somebody's best day. So chapter five is Don't Be a Jerk. If somebody says, hey, can I take you to coffee? Because I'd love to learn how you got here. Get that free coffee. Let's go. You're going to have a coffee today anyways.
Yeah.
When you can share that moment with someone. And chapter six is You Can Never Know Too Many People. And chapter seven is Let's Grow Our Networks Together. When I think about it full circle, I try to take readers on a roller coaster. You're going to meet strangers. You're going to learn a little bit about them. You're going to embrace your mask. You're going to need a follow-up. Don't be a jerk, and make sure that if somebody's following up with you or vice versa, you can never know too many people. And the more people you know, the greater your impact can be.
Yeah. I talk in my coaching a lot too, kind of like the same thing. There's three people you should have in your life at all times. You should have somebody that you look up to and want to inspire to be, and you need to, like you said, have coffee with them, have lunches with them, try to learn as much as you can from them. You should have somebody who's doing what you're doing right now, kind of like a peer that you could network with and stay involved with. But then you also got to have that person on the come up, right? That person that's where you used to be.
Yes, and
you have to be available to that person, because it's going to make you feel so prideful, because you'll be like,
absolutely,
man, dude, I remember when I was in that spot and it was hard and this happened and that happened and this is how I persevered and now I am where I'm at today. And it gives you that like sense of pride and accomplishment. I love that. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
And the thing too is, because like me, I'm really introverted person sometimes when I go get on planes, or like when I get on planes, I'm the dude who's got like my hat down low, my Beats on, my hoodie on. I'm like, don't look at me, don't talk to me. Like I'm not even black, I get racially profiled at the airport.
You got a nice beard though.
I do. Yeah, that's new though. But I like walk through security and they're like, what the fuck is this dude thinking, right?
Well, I look at your hat, and if I'm sitting next to you, like, Dads with Swag to me is tight. Like, I'm 30, turning 31, just about to get married. Kids are not on the horizon, but, you know, a couple moons.
They're in the playbook.
Yeah, like 15, 20 moons from now, we'll have some kids, but I'm gonna be a dad with swag.
Yeah.
So if anything else, I'm gonna be that guy that wants to be that number three. Like, if you're a dad already and you got swag, a couple years from now, I'm gonna try to be a dad, and I'm gonna try to be that dad with swag. So, is dads with? And that is the art of talking to strangers. I'm gonna recognize something about you.
Yeah.
You know, what is dads with swag? And that is either A, your occupation, or B, your occupation, or C, your recreation.
Yeah.
And F, number A or letter A, that's family, that's occupation, that's recreation, that's your dreams. Dads with swag encompasses all four of the Ford theory. Now we're talking for a flight.
Yeah.
And here we go.
There we go. It's on. That's a cool point. So who's the coolest person you've met on a plane?
That's actually a great question. When it comes to on the plane, I talk about Raleigh, the real estate guy wearing the Rolex. I talk about this girl, Doris Rice. We committed we didn't commit the felony, but we jokingly called it she's a world-renowned watercolor artist.
Okay.
You want to talk about dreams?
Yeah.
She is dopest of dope of art watercolorist with swag, and she gets paid to go to Coronado, Cape Cod, and she just watercolors.
Okay.
So, we sit next to each other. I'm going to tell you the crime that was committed because you don't even read the book. I'm just going to tell you everything, right? So I'm at the bar at the airport, and I try to talk to these two dudes next to me. We're going to Phoenix, and they kind of like shunned me. And I'm like, yo, don't shun me. Don't try to sun me.
Yeah,
like,
don't be a jerk.
Yeah, I'm over here just trying to have a beer. You're having a beer. We're both headed to Phoenix. Like, what's up? Nah, hit me with the stiff arm. So I was like, all right, cool. So dude leaves his laptop.
Oh,
my man. So I'm kind. I was like, you know what? Like, I look at the bartender. I was like, I know they're on my flight. This is a felony. If I'm not only somebody left their luggage unattended.
Yeah.
That's the one recording you hear at every
time. Every time, yeah. Don't leave it. Yeah, what's in this laptop?
All right, I'll take this. So I take it, and I'm on, again in the C section. So I was like, all right, like, I'll get on the plane. I'll scan. I think I remember what dude looks like. Nothing. So I look on the back of the laptop and I see he's got his company there. So I buy the Wi-Fi for our hour-long flight to look on LinkedIn to find dude. I add five dudes from this guy's from his company. We get off the plane. I still haven't found him. So now I've officially committed, I think, a felony. And I brought a laptop that was left unattended onto a plane. Thank God nothing bad happened. Then I get off the plane and I can't find dude. And I got a laptop from San Diego. Well, then I walk down. You pass the restaurants and the bathroom, and I see dude yelling at his coworker about leaving the laptop. I show up. I'm like, hey, my man, I think you left this laptop when we were sitting at the bar, and I just wanted you to know I brought it. And I guess what I'm doing is I'm not answering your question because this dude was a jerk.
Yeah.
I didn't expect him to buy me a ride home or a steak, but if this is the laptop for your business and some dude finds it for you, he was like, all right, man, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Wow.
That's it. And through the whole flight, I'm talking to Doris about her watercolor and this laptop, and I'm finally meet dude. And he was like, shook my hand and walked on. And it was that moment that I was like, all right, was I expecting something? Did I expect him to say, oh, like, let me get you an Uber, or hey, let's just have a beer real quick, or hey, my company's putting on this event, you should come, or here's my card if you're ever in San Diego. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that is probably one of the greatest stories.
Dude, let me give you $100. Like,
yo,
cash money always works, dude. I'd give anything. If it was my laptop, whatever's in my pocket.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I wish dude gave me, I wish he just slid me like at least a 20 spot.
Yeah.
Because I at least would pay my bill.
At least that's thoughtful. You lugged this laptop all the way from San Diego.
Yeah. So it was not the coolest person I've ever met, but it falls into the adventure of traveling.
Yeah.
It is one of those travel. If you travel a lot, you have stories.
Yeah.
People that travel a lot, they are the greatest OGs. They're capital OGs. Like, they know how to get the TSA lines. They know where to eat and all this stuff. Like, there's tricks. But in that story, it's cool because I met Doris through this, and she was a part of it. And I've never needed a watercolorist. But if you need a watercolorist, Doris Rice, the dopest of dope, she is the best. And she gets paid to travel to cool places to help people watercolor.
Perfect, dude. That sounds like a So when your kid is painting on the walls and you about to like whoop their butt for painting on the walls, just remember they can make
a
living
out of it.
There's a future. There is a future on jacking up your walls. Who's the one person you would love to meet on a plane?
I've thought about this a lot. Especially when it comes to don't sleep on planes and the ability. There's a guy who's the CEO of Hudson News. And I'm trying to get Don't Sleep on Planes to me is the perfect book to buy in airports. So I was like, man, if I could sit next to this guy, they're in New Jersey. I've done my LinkedIn homework. It'd be cool to sit next to him because he's the gatekeeper getting the book. But that's that. There are people that run businesses. There are people that work in our military. To me, it's not even like I hope the right person sits next to me because I've had people that suck. I've had people that are cool. I don't know if there is the one dream celebrity that I hope would sit next to me. To me, the coolest part is just when people sit next to me that are doctors or lawyers or teachers, and we can just talk, and I could tell them I work in sports and I wrote a book.
Yeah.
They think I'm cool.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do? No, that's dope. Tell me more. I have an idea for a second book, and I have some ideas that I want to do, like a YouTube channel, and I just love people.
Cool.
And I think our society is full of the coolest people that work their butts off for their own dreams. Every chance I get to meet somebody and find out what they're doing, and you can probably tell a lot. I got a lot of energy, but I also believe like society is the glass 2/3 full. We are a dope society.
Yeah.
And together we can accomplish a lot. And I think to some degree, we forget that.
And I think like when you go into a situation with an open mind and you think like, all right, my intention on this airplane is to meet a new friend, like meet somebody, chop it up, have some conversation. A lot of the, especially the shit that society is going through right now, a lot of this discrimination and hatred and all that stuff, it just flows off because
absolutely.
You come to this point where you're like, all right, no matter who I'm sitting next to, whether they Jews, together. Muslims, Christians, we sitting here for the next couple hours.
Hope there's a good landing.
And might as well just, you know, because yeah, that's what we all got the same fear right now. We all got the same fear. Everybody that's on the plane has the same fear. Hey, let's make sure we don't hit turbulence. Make sure I ain't got to pee when that seatbelt lights off. And yeah, make sure we got a nice soft landing. And everybody, unless you're that dude, is looking don't around the plane, is like, hey, is somebody going to cause some shit on this
don't
plane?
Be the dude. Yeah. That's so, don't sleep on planes and don't be the dude. Yeah.
It's cool, man, because it's kind of, you know, I had talked about it on a previous episode where it's like we walk through life and we're so afraid to say what's up to people, to say hello to people, because we're so insecure with the fact that people aren't going to say hi back. But when you really think about it, like, how many times has somebody said hello to you and you don't say hello back?
See, networking is like dating.
Yeah.
And as a guy from man to man, when it comes to dating, how you start is really going to be how you finish.
Yeah.
And so to some degrees, you can shift that. But if you come in too hard or too hot or you come in a little awkward, you're still trying to break the glass, break the ice. You're coming in and you got to figure out what it is. So the art of talking to strangers, to me, like, I'm engaged now for 5 years, and I was like, all right, I wrote this book about meeting strangers. If I was single, I think it would still work. But whenever you're meeting a guy or a girl, and maybe you are single, or maybe you're networking on a plane, or you're at a networking event, the first thing I'm going to drop on you is don't be Carl the card collector. The dude that's like, hey, what do you do? Let me get your card. What do you do? Let me, like, no, Carl, kick back, dude.
Yeah.
But the same thing comes back to Ford, but it also comes back to be present in the moment and recognize where you're at, what you're doing. So the art of talking to strangers to me breaks down like this. You're on the same plane, going to the same destination, on the same row. All you're talking about, the first thing you can say is, we're flying to Chicago. Yo, my man, like, Chicago, huh? What do you got going on in Chicago? Boom. They have to answer that question because they got something in Chicago.
Yeah, something's going on.
So to me, it's like you break it down to the simplest form of, if you're going to say hi to somebody, that's a closed-ended question. Hey, or we've all walked down the halls in an office like, hey, how you doing today? Good. See ya. Like, come on, bro. Like, I'm guilty of working in an office where people just say, hey, how you doing today? They don't care how I'm doing today. No. So you have to find those moments to really, you know, bridge the gap, break the ice, and create open-ended questions and the art of talking to strangers. Yeah.
You know, it's a fun game to play. I like to do it. Wifey doesn't like it when I do it at all, though.
No.
But we'll be like at the grocery store, or like we'll be eating dinner and the waitress will be like, or the checkout person will be like, so how you doing today? I'm like, actually, shitty day. And I'm like, it's hot as hell out here. I'm sweating. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I saw the devil on vacation over here in Phoenix.
And then they're like, all right, dude, cool. It'll be $17.95, please.
Dude, the look on their face is just like, what did this dude just do? Yes. I'm like, hey, don't ask dumb questions that you don't really want to answer to. You got any tips out there for first-time book writers? Since this is your first literary experience, what kind of advice you got out there?
There is no playbook to writing a book. Everything you Google is either half true or it's going to lead you down a path where you're going to get even more lost. I have no idea what I did. I don't know how I did it, but the step one is it starts with great people. I found a great editor. I found a young lady named Jenica A. Mays. You can check her out on Instagram, AMA's photography. She's a photographer. She used to work at a radio station, did street team, and she's never designed a book cover before. Neither did I, but she's a creative, so I gave her a shot. So when it comes to writing a book, if you want to write a book, the first step in writing a book is writing. You got to write. I didn't think I was going to write a book until I started talking about, I wrote in a journal about Raleigh, you know, the guy wearing the Rolex. Then I wrote in the journal about like how funny it was with Doris. And then I started breaking down like, okay, what comes from this story? And then I realized like, I'm pretty extroverted. I love talking to people and it can help people with what I'm good at. So I identified a problem that I wanted to solve. So if you're writing a book that's a self-help, you're identifying what self-help category you get into based off the problem you want to help solve. So when it comes to writing a book, first step is writing. I had 35,000 words and I was like, all right, that's a little much. So I wrote down three goals once I realized I'm writing a book is I want the book to fit in the back of your pocket and I want you to be able to read it in about an hour and a half. So I had to do some Google research on what an hour and a half read is like and all that. Full circle, if you're going to write a book, first step is writing. Second step is organizing it. What are the titles, all that. If you want to title it first, title it first. If you don't know what the title it is, guess what? Keep writing. And at the very end of the day, there are people in your circle that you can share your book with that'll be honest. And if you don't have honest people in your circle, send your book to me and I'll be real honest with you. But
you need to find a new circle.
If you want to write a book, the coolest part about writing a book is people have come out and said, yo, I really want to write a book. Okay, write a book. No? Like, why? If you want to write a book that bad, then write a book.
Start writing. Especially today's day and age, like, it's so easy. Like, you can get online publishing and you can
Microsoft Word does Word Check for you.
Yeah, just like on, it's like not like back in the day where it's like you had to have like gone to some like writing college and have like this kind of background and have been like writing in newspapers, like all this stuff to be able to, or you know.
Amazon makes it pretty easy. Yeah. There's a website called CreateSpace that I used. You can upload your manuscript. They tell you how to do it. You upload your cover file. It costs you nothing. And then you put it on Amazon. Cost you nothing.
Yeah.
Now they'll print it on demand and ship on demand, but guess what? They're taking a big share.
Yeah.
So I own very few copies of my book.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about some business advice? The best business advice I'll give listeners is find a way to make money when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
When I'm sleeping last night, I sold 3 books.
Yeah.
I made $9. But perfect. I've never made $9 when I was asleep before.
Never. Yeah.
It is a game changer.
It is, definitely.
I gotta figure out how to sell like 19 books now. Yeah. No, but
after being on Dads with Swag, we're gonna blow it up.
Yeah. Let's go.
Every dad out there is gonna have to buy this book, man. Especially a book that you could read in an hour and a half. That's like what made you come up with that? Like, I want a book that people can just go through.
Time. Yeah. Dads, whatever. There's not enough time in the day. You're trying to play Madden. You're trying to get your fantasy football team right.
Yeah.
You're watching football on the weekends. Then you got to take the kid to soccer practice. Then you got to figure out like, yo, I need pants. And you got to deal with the wife. Or maybe the wife's got to deal with the husband. Whatever it is, there's 24 hours in the day. And I don't know how people have lived this long with only 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
So now more than ever, we are multitasking. In the course of this podcast, I have responded to 2 emails. I have posted 1 Instagram. I've answered 5 questions. And I'm over here still trying to figure out how many more things I could do while I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
If I had to read a book that was 5 hours or 5,000 pages,
yeah,
I don't know when I would do it. And I might read the first 2 chapters and I would set it down. And then I'm never going to finish it.
And this is a cool thing, too, because, like, you know, my listeners definitely know for sure I'm like a book a month kind of dude. I like to read a book a month. I like to learn a new skill, a new lesson, a new theory, and some kind of knowledge. And this is like the perfect thing, man, because it's like I could, it's my book for the month. I'm going to learn a new skill, a new lesson. Absolutely. And it's not going to take that much time away from. And then of course, you know, my cigar smoking and scotch drinking is going to go down because that's what I like to do while I read my book. Yeah. That's my dad time. Kids don't bother me because they don't like to smoke. I don't really smoke the cigar as much as I just set it there.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like bug repellent for wifey and kids. You know, it's like, okay, this is that's dad's time. The cigar sits there. Yeah, I got my book. I got my drink.
Light some cigars up around me.
And I'm just like, they ain't coming up. Like, they'll be out by the window waving, dad. I'm like, I don't see you.
See you in a couple hours.
Right here.
Yeah, that's cool.
Your second break song, man. You got Fred Hammond, We're Blessed. What made you come up with that one?
So I go to Impact Church in Scottsdale.
Woo!
This Scottsdale police officer named Keith. And when he comes on with this song on Sundays, I feel it. And I grew up in West Phoenix, inner city. And you want to talk about dads with swag. I'm a ginger with swag. So let's go. And whenever Bless comes on, I realize like we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the midnight hour. And God's going to turn it around. And whenever you're going through the valley, just remember that it is a valley of, it's a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And through that point, you're going to get out of the valley. And the blessings in life are amazing. So Fred Hammond and my man Keith at Impact Church.
Dude, and Keith,
let's
Keith
get can, blessed.
Keith can sing that song too, man. That dude brings it every week. I'm like, I love it. And when he's not there, it's like my Sunday ain't as good.
And you know you're not gonna get blessed.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm Keith, like, I need it.
Let's Keith, get blessed.
No more taking days off, Keith.
Stats with Swag with your host, Sean Alfonso.
Let's do it.
What's up? Welcome back to Dads with Swag. I love to give back to charity. But sometimes I just find it kind of hard to cut that big check. I get so busy with the wife and kids, I'm more of a set it and forget it kind of guy. That's why I love the Angel Club. I could pick the amount I want taken out of my checking account every month. I never see the money, so I never miss the money. And I could always feel good about knowing that I'm giving back every month. If you want to join the Angel Club, go to PierceFamilyFoundation.com. We in studio with my boy Zach and his book, Don't Sleep on Planes. Hit us up on social media at Your Coach Sean. You can always email me, Sean, SeanAlfonso.com. Get past episodes on DadsWithSwag.com. The show is available on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe, review, rate the show. If you have any guests that you want to be on the show or, you know, you want to come on the show, hit me up. If you don't want to get at me on social media, then leave a voicemail, 415-579-1483. We would love to have you in this swaggy-ass studio, Dads with Swag Studio. So, Zach, how has your faith impacted this book?
I believe that, so I didn't grow up going to church. I found my church because I was at a Phoenix Suns game and I saw the team chaplain walk by and he was a pastor with Swag. So I said, what's up? And we started talking and I was single at the time and I knew that I wanted to fall in love with a woman of faith, and that's something that was missing in my life. So started going to church, learning about church, the Lord, what being a Christian means, learning about the Bible. It was cool for me because whether you're a big believer or not, what's cool about going to church on Sundays, and especially Impact Church where I go, is, you know, for that 1 hour and a half that you're there at church on Sundays, you're getting better. There's a message about being a better person, being a better brother, being a better husband and wife, talking about dreams, talking about goals, dealing with challenges. I love that church has instilled in me for that 1 hour and a half, my phone is off, and I'm just focusing on being the best me that the good Lord wants me to be. So when it comes to Don't Sleep on Planes, I've realized, like, I've studied business, I got my MBA, like I've got all this academia love of business and knowledge, but I'm not the best businessman because I'm so quick to give it away. To that same point, I think that comes back to my faith that, you know, God put me on the earth to, he gave me a lot more energy than most people. I really haven't figured that one out yet. Yeah. But with the energy he's given me, I wake up every day and I just want to help people. So last week for Labor Day, last month for Labor Day, I put the book on Kindle for free.
Oh, nice.
The idea of the book is to help people. Like, I'm not going to make a million. And when I make a million dollars with this book, it will be dope and I will have helped a lot of people. But I don't expect to make $1 million with this book, and I just expect to help a million people. So when it comes back to my faith, I think about just helping your neighbor every day with whatever they need.
Yeah, it's like number one rule in the Bible, you know, treat your neighbor how you want to be treated. It's funny, man, because if everybody just did that, if everybody just treated their neighbor the way that they want to be treated, man, this world would be such a better place.
That's the kind of the way too, man, like the Don't Be a Jerk chapter or The Art of Talking to Strangers, or You Can Never Know Too Many People. I think that even if you don't meet one more person the rest of your life, the people that you have met are in your life to help you. But I'm sure you can talk about a time in which somebody came to you and said, hey, like, I need some help with this. You thought about who you knew and you got them in touch with somebody that could help them. That should be your mission statement in life, because no matter where you go, what you do, you should be trying to meet more people, not for self-interest, but the more people you know, the greater impact you can have on the lives of others.
Cool. That's true. So did you meet your wife or future wife at Impact Church? Or
no, I actually met her volunteering. I'll open up the heart a little bit. Growing up, I was a little food insecure, and food stamps, hunger boxes, weekend backpack. I dealt with food insecurity. Hunger doesn't have a face. I know where I was at. We were getting handouts, but they were hand ups. I was going to make, man, Pizza Fridays, Burger Tuesdays. Like, I remember what free lunch at school was like, and it wasn't enjoyable. So a couple years ago, I've been blessed to work in professional sports for 12 years. It is the coolest industry in the world, filled of millionaires, executives, diehard fans, whatever. So I was volunteering with Valley of the Sun United Way, telling my hunger story. And with that, I held the door for her. And I tried to keep talking her up. And this woman walked up and she says, "Hey, I heard you work in baseball." I said, "Yeah." And as she wanted to ask me a bunch of baseball questions, she walked away. And I was like, "No." I got to my car and I thought to myself, I was like, I got to talk to this girl. I went back in. I couldn't find her. So I left my business card with the woman that liked baseball. And I said, "Hey, like, I'm doing marketing for my campaign to raise money for hunger. And this young lady works in hunger and she works in the marketing side. Like, she said she would help me." Pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
And she texted me. We texted for like 2 weeks. And instead of going to lunch or coffee, we went to happy hour. And we were there for 5 hours.
Wow.
5 years later, she now comes to church with me every week. And she'll be my sidekick for life.
Nice.
It's great.
That's cool, man. So now we're going to get into the dad stuff a little. So how eventually you got, like you said, in a few moons, let's not put the cart before the horse. But eventually you guys are going to have some kids. How do you plan on raising your kids in the church?
So when you talk about dads, before I come back to the kids in the church, part of our relationship with my fiance is her dad was really sick when we first started dating. When we got engaged, I actually proposed at St. Joe's Hospital in his hospital bed before a big surgery. So when it comes to the value of fathers, her mom and dad actually live with us during our engagement, and now they still live with us. My dad's out at Luke Air Force Base and still close to him, and he's going through cancer right now. And so when I think of dads and I think about sports, to me it comes back to I've seen grown men cry. I've seen grown men share their favorite team with their kids every day. The value of fatherhood, I can't wait to be a dad with swag, a dad with a big heart, a dad that cries. I pray to have a son because I cry every day with my daughter. Yeah, I can't wait. Me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
When it comes to just raising my kids in the church, like, I didn't grow up in the church, but I know that based off of what's been instilled in me to this day, what I want to instill in them, I will do everything I can to give them the best life like every human being will do for their kid. But when it comes to raising them in the church, like, I don't know what that looks like because it didn't happen for me.
Yeah.
But I love the fact to this point, I got a great circle and I get to be the coolest uncle, best friend, uncle, whatever it is. And I'm learning about that. And I firmly believe that I know what I know. And for what I don't know, I look for somebody. So I look to find, when that time comes, somebody that's done it.
Yeah.
And get to just learn and be a part. It's the greatest fear of my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is what's it going to be like to be a dad one day? And how am I going to raise my child? And what values am I going to instill in them? And how am I going to find patience? And dear Lord, please give me the same amount of energy when I have a kid. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm gonna hire Zach to come play with Ava.
Because
everybody knows Ava's hourly, crack baby who got more energy than man. I'm like, I do not know this girl. All right, so we're about to take another break. I picked a song here, and I picked a song for my boy Bizzle, featuring D1 and G. I like this song, man. It's a good way to get some of that hip hop, that ghetto rap music into your soul. But the lyrics speak to your soul. And nobody's coming up like Bizzle is. And of course, my boy D1, his student loans, fuck Fannie Mae. You know how it is. All right, check it out.
Got it. I've been all up in the hood. They ain't got it. They ain't got it. I've been all up in the streets. They ain't got it. They ain't got it. I've been all up in the trap. They ain't got it. They ain't got it. They ain't got it. G told me no degree, he could see a couple G's a week. Okay. Gropped up 2 years, locked up for the next eight easily. Dang. 2 G's, 52 weeks times two's 208K. Wow. Wait, over 10 years, homie could have made that a Chick-fil-A. Really, I ain't with the fakery. Did it all, A to Z. Pitching lies in the kitchen, whipping pies, tell them save it for the bakery. All that talking, I be dead on it. Toss it in the coffin with a nail on it. Every lie they be selling down when that 25 got an L on it. Everybody tell on everybody. Everybody go the Judas route. Ain't nobody sticking to the G code they was telling you about. I be in the prison with them real killers. You be acting like you wanna be. They be telling me to tell y'all prison something you don't never wanna see. I ain't fretting like I was an old dog. No dog, I was just came. Just a boy in the hood. Never been a dope boy, I was just trained. I was looking for the truth though. Streets came with a loophole. Now I live by a new code. Proverbs 22
got it, got it, got it like that. I pull up and then hop out, but they ain't body like that. I was looking for the word, couldn't find it like that. I'm just trying to catch a body for the body like that. But they ain't got it, 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 they ain't got it like that. I pull up, then hop out, they ain't body like that. I'm just trying to catch a body for the body like that.
Oh, just got my dress twisted to the back, pull up in a 98. The trap, middle of the trap, everybody give me dap, then let Woody Holland know, whoa, what is that? That's that Bible on my lap, dog. Boy, I don't just rap, dog. This a spiritual war, I gotta stay strapped, dog. They might not want it, but they need it. Hold up, wait. I be saving souls like Dr. Scholes, and I'm undefeated. I used to be the little guy, wasn't banging or slinging, I was just hanging in the hood. Telling people follow me on IG, but wasn't leading them nowhere good. So telling all my boys in the hood is the least I can do.
Yeah, welcome back to Dads with Swag. We got my boy Zach in the house. Make sure you guys go to Amazon and get that book. Don't sleep on planes. I want this boy making a grip of money while he sleeps all the time. You know, the thing I like about this book, Don't Sleep on Planes, is the fact that it's going to, A, it's a short read, okay? And it's going to teach you some life skills that you really need to know. They're going to help you level up your life and get your mind right and start teaching you an attitude of being nice to people and reaching out to people and being vulnerable and putting yourself out there. And it's going to allow you to, A, you know, it's kind of like what your parents told you when you was a young kid. For every new friend you got, it's one less enemy. And we got so much trial and tribulation in this world right now that we can all use one more friend. We can all use one more person to chop it up with and be kind to and listen to their story and tell them your story. So grab this book, check it out, read it. It's going to take you an hour and a half to read this book. If you cannot read a book in an hour and a half, then you got some problems, because you either need to step up your reading game, put those like Sports Illustrated magazines away, or, you know, I don't know, maybe get hooked on phonics or something. But it's a short read. It's a cool ass book. You can walk around with it, and it's a good conversation piece too, because this book on your coffee table, everybody, or on your desk, everybody that comes in your office or comes in your house is going to ask you, yo, what's that about? Don't Sleep on Planes. So blow it up on your social media. Tell all your friends, tell all your family, go out there, hit up Amazon, get this book, Don't Sleep on Planes. Thank you guys for listening to Dads with Swag. We out.